We all know metals like gold, copper, and nickel are essential to our way of life.
They're used in so many things. We're talking your smartphone, kitchen gear, clothing, electronics, transportation, construction. The list is endless.
So how do we make sure that we have a continuous supply of these metals?
And how do experts find new ore deposits to make sure we meet future demand?
Our scientists are working hard to specifically address that issue. Stay tuned to find out how. Welcome to a new episode of Simply Science, the podcast that talks about the amazing scientific work that our experts at Natural Resources Canada are doing. My name is Joel Houle.
And I'm Barb Eustina. Welcome, everyone. We have a really interesting episode for you today. We're speaking with two scientists who study ore deposits. Now, these are metals and minerals are something that we use every day, but we don't often think about where they come from, you know, supply, demand, that sort of thing. So it'll be interesting to hear. Now, Joel, how much do you know about mining for minerals and metals?
Oh, I know a lot. I play a lot of Minecraft. So I know that if you go explore in those deep caves, you got to watch out for those ancient cities where you find a warden. But, you know, when it comes to real life, though, maybe not so much.
Okay.
No.
Interesting. I thought you'd have a completely different answer to that question.
Really?
Because you're always wearing, like, heavy metal t-shirts during our Zoom conversations. So anyway.
Well, you know, working from home has its perks. So, you know, wearing jammies and band shirts are my comfort zone.
Yeah.
So.
You want to take a quick quiz?
Sure. About mining and minerals?
You bet.
Okay, let's do it. Go for it. I love quizzes.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
How many different minerals does Canada produce in total?
How many different minerals? Okay. I don't know. I'm going to say like 25. Am I close?
A little up, up.
A little up, mm-hmm. 723.
Oh, no. Okay. Quite a bit down.
Oh, yeah, like what, around 50 or so?
Close, 60. 60 different minerals.
Wow, that's impressive. That's a lot of products. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Okay, so if you like quizzes, I have a question for you. So when I was doing my research, there's some interesting stats here that I wanted to share with you. So it's a little wordy. Okay, so what is the top-ranked commodity by value of production in Canada? So what is the mineral or metal that we produce that's the highest value?
Total dollar value.
Total dollar value of what we produce for that mineral or metal.
Okay. And somehow I think this is a trick question because it's kind of obvious. But I'm going to go with what's on the top of my head, and I'm going to go with gold.
Actually, yeah, you're right. I was just trying to throw you a curveball.
Are diamonds considered minerals and mineral? No.
Well,
I don't think so.
Yeah, they are, actually.
Oh, they are. Okay.
But you know what? Here's some stats, because I know you love some stats. So in 2021, we produced $44 billion worth of minerals and metals. And about 4% of that was diamonds. But 28% of that was gold. And we're talking about like $13.7 billion in value that we produce. So I just thought that was really interesting. It's over a quarter.
Wow, that is a lot.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, speaking of gold, one of our experts today is an expert in gold exploration. So do you think we should bring on our guest?
Yeah, let's go to the source.
With us today, we have Patrick Mercier-Langevin and Michel Houlet from the Geological Survey of Canada in Quebec City. Gentlemen, how's it going?
Good, good. Thanks, you. Thanks, and you?
Very good, thank you. Michel, ça va bien? Going well?
Yes, going well, and you?
Good, good, thank you. So, okay, let's start by maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Yeah, sure. I'm Patrick Mercier-Langevin. I'm a research scientist at the Geological Survey of Canada at the Quebec office. I'm from Chicoutimi, where I did my undergrad as a geological engineer, and then I done a master there as well, then moved to Quebec in 2000 to do a PhD at the Institut National de la Recherche Scientifique, the INRS in Quebec City, on a GSC project, and then I graduated in 2004 and then moved to Val-d'Or, where I was hired by an exploration company as a project geologist exploring for gold in the Abitibi region, so in northwestern Quebec and northeastern Ontario. And then in 2006, I joined GSC, so moved back to Quebec City as a geoscientist. and I've been with the GSC since then.
Yeah, I'm Michel Lee. I'm also, as Patrick, as research scientist with the Geological Survey of Canada based in Quebec City. I'm from Montreal, but I did my BSc and my MSc degree in Laval University in Quebec and on chrome mineralization in northern Quebec. And after that, I moved in Ontario in, around in 2000 to do my PhD degree in collaboration at the University of Ottawa and Laurentian University in Sudbury. And I spent many years working over there after that with the Geological Survey of the Ontario Geological Survey for the Ontario province, doing regional mapping and mineral assessment around the Timmins area. And after that, I moved in back in Quebec in 2009 to start working as research scientist with the Geological Survey of Canada.
So it certainly sounds like you're both very accomplished in your fields. We're going to get into a few details a bit later on, but I'm wondering if, just as a setup here, a beginning, if you can give us provide us a bit of an overview of the type of work you're involved in and your expertise in that area.
Yeah, sure. We said that we are research scientists, but in fact, we can be a bit more precise. We are metallurgists. So we are specializing on studying ore deposits, and ore deposit means metal concentration that can be mined with profit. So when we're talking about an ore body or an ore deposit, it has to be rich enough or big enough to be mined profitably. So Michel and I are both metallurgists, but we are also even more specialized in that. So I'm specialized on gold deposits and copper zinc deposits, whereas Michel is specialized on nickel, copper, PGE, platinum group element deposits, chromium deposits as well. So we're talking about ore deposits, but there are different commodities, different metals, and each of these deposits are completely different. So it's a bit complicated. So throughout our career as research scientists, we keep improving our knowledge and specializing. So these deposits, they all have different characteristics, and they're formed under different conditions in different places. So that's why each metallurgist has a specialty.
So let me make sure I've got this straight. The purpose of your research is to better understand ore deposits, where they're located, that sort of thing. But more specifically, what are you hoping to learn about these deposits, and why is it something that you feel is really worthwhile pursuing?
Well, there are many reasons, but why we are studying ore deposits is about better understanding how they form, why they form, and where they form. And the importance of that is to be able to contribute to better exploration models or exploration guidelines. So if you want to make sure that you're putting or investing money at the right place, depending on what you're looking for, gold or nickel, copper, you have to understand how these deposits are being formed. So that's why we are studying those deposits. And the more you know, the more you understand how they form, well, the better you can vector or select areas that have a good potential. So that's a more practical aspect of that. So we want to understand how these deposits are formed. It's a scientific question. It's part of the evolution of the Earth. So we are interested in that. But the practical aspect is to develop better exploration programs and better exploration guidelines. So this being said, the NRCan, so Natural Resources Canada, has a clear mandate. So we have to keep improving the understanding of the geology of the country, which includes better appraisal of its mineral potential. So we have to generate some public knowledge. So all the work that we're doing is public, so it's not private. It has to be open. And that's what we call pre-competitive knowledge. So it can be used by anyone. For whatever use, so better land use planning and all that, safety, whatever, and including exploration and reducing the risk of exploration. So that's our mandate. And we know in Canada, the mineral resources domain is really important. It has a major economic impact. We're talking about billions of dollars that it injects into the Canadian economy every year. And we're talking about hundreds of thousands of jobs that are related to the mineral industry.
Yeah, it's a very important and significant industry for sure. Why is it important right now to focus on improving the way we identify viable ore deposits? Like, what's the driving force behind this type of research?
It's important for several reasons. First, reserve, what we call reserve and resources. So metal resources that we know that are somewhere in the ground and that could potentially be mined in the near future are declining. So we don't have that much metal ahead of us. So we have to do more exploration to keep finding more resources to contribute to the metal demand in the future. And that demand, it keeps increasing as well. So many countries are now in a big phase of development. We are diversifying the economy as well, and the move towards the more green economy is create some pressure and demand on new metals or more metals. So if you want to have electric cars, we're going to need much more copper, for example, much more lithium. So that creates a big pressure on the production. So we are going to need more metals in the near future. So that's one of the main drivers between the research we're doing.
I'm really surprised to hear that our metal deposits are declining, because I think for a lot of people, and I'm talking about non-experts like myself, we're sort of living under this imaginary vision that we have vast supplies of these metals, but that's really not the case. So I find that really surprising. But I'm curious about specifically the type of work that's involved in discovering these ore deposits and getting more details about the ore deposits. I'm curious, can you talk us a bit through your process? Do you physically go out in the field and take measurements or collect data, or you use, like, how do you figure all of this out?
Well, this is a really interesting question, and in fact, it's really exciting kind of thing to do, you know, to be out in the field and things like that. But I will explain a little bit. You know, at the beginning, what you try to do when we work in, to try to better understand our deposit or system. In fact, what we start right away to try to establish some key question or scientific problem that we want to resolve or try to resolve or to improve. But in fact, after we define that within the guideline of our program, for example, one of our program that is the Targeted Geoscience Initiative, you know, that it's one of the main goals is to try to help better understand our system, different ore system, that it could be gold or nickel or lithium or many other ore system, that we try to better understand that. But after we establish the scientific question, we try to look across the country and say, okay, where is the best place to try to understand or to try to improve on our understanding for that specific question? And after we design that or we decide where is the best place, and now it's all the fun start. That means all our work, it's quite diversified, and this implies several steps. You know, the first step will be, first of all, as a little bit like if you're planning, a holiday vacation somewhere or things like that, you need to do a lot of field planning. That means if you go working, if it's you decide that the best place to answer your scientific question will be on the mine, but it's different that if it will be go working, you know, for example, in the far north of Canada, for example, in Nunavut or other place like that. That means a lot of planning is involved. That could be, you know, for all the accommodation, the transport and everything to build or hire, people or field crew and to collaborate, to build collaboration with university, with industry and provincial and territorial survey. This is part of the field planning. When all that is done, we need to do actually the field campaign. And this is where we getting the data, the new data, to try to better understand those ore deposits. And this will imply many different steps that will go really quickly. But you collect in new data, you know that it's Kobe, film mapping, underground mapping. And the main thing is we're collecting sample. Okay, we're collecting generally a lot of sample, and we bring those back into the office. And after that, this is where the next step will start, and this will be the laboratory portion of it. That means now we're collecting the rock that we collected underground from drill core or from the surface. We just prepare them, to make dissection that we can look at it under the microscope. And after that, we can send that for geochemical analysis, for ore rock, for trace element data. For example, when we talk about critical minerals or, all those elements, what you need to remember, they all in generally a small proportion in the rocks, okay, except when you have a big accumulation. But even that, it's a couple of percent or ppm per se. Okay, this is the part of the laboratory. But when we collect and we receive all the data, the other step that is really critical, it will be all the data analysis and the integration of the data. That means all the result that you receiving from the lab, from the petrographic work, the microprobe and things like that you do, you need to analyze that and to try to understand what we have in hand and to understand those deposits. And after that, at the end of the day, we need to diffuse or to our knowledge or what we learned from that project. And this could be throughout, scientific meeting, national and international meeting with other scientific across the world. It could be within the exploration community, or also with the general public, throughout different venues, for example, like a podcast like we're doing today.
So yes, I guess you're saving the best for last with the podcast. That's really good. And it's great to have such variety in your work. Now, we're recording this in January right now. And Michel, from what I hear, you have a really interesting, field work trip coming up in a few weeks. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, effectively. One thing I didn't mention, for example, it depends where you are in the world. But for example, perhaps in Canada, because we have four seasons, generally we're doing most of our field work, from probably late spring, summer time period and early fall. But the thing is, sometimes depending on what type of field campaign you're doing, this is what an example. And in the next few weeks, I'm going in the field in northern Quebec to do some field work. And in fact, it's in February, and this is the middle of winter. But the thing is, because why it's possible, it's because specifically for this field campaign, I'm going to exploration site of a mining company, exploration company, to look some of the drill core. They did, last fall. That means we'll go over there and we'll look in the remote camp, but it will be heated and everything. it's a little bit why it's possible. We'll not go to see any outcrops, but it will go to see core over there and to sample it. But it will be exactly the same as I told you before. We'll collect some sample and we'll bring that back. And we'll do, all the different steps that I was talking about previously.
That's good. Most people go south during the winter. We go north at Natural Resources Canada. That's great. So what stage are things at right now? And any thoughts on what the future might have in store?
Well, we're probably going to face some challenge, especially the geoscientists. We've said there's a growing demand in metals. And finding deposits is increasingly difficult. In the past, most deposits were discovered through prospecting, so a direct discovery of detection. So metals or the ore was present on surface, outcropping. So that's how many big discoveries were made decades ago. But now, with time, most of these surface discoveries have been done, and more we're looking for ore deposits that are hidden. So they are at depth and across, so 500 meters below surface, 1,500 meters below surface. So that means that the ore does not outcrop, so you cannot see it on surface. So what you have to look for then are hints or traces of mineralization. So you have to be able to detect potential mineralization or ore deposits away. So we're looking at what we call its footprint. So you don't see the mineralization itself, but you have some indication that there might be mineralization somewhere at depth. So that means that we have to keep improving our understanding of how deposits are formed and what are the traces left by these ore-forming processes. So that's why keeping increasing our knowledge of how the deposits form is becoming more and more important. So that's one of the challenge that we are facing now. And as I said, we are looking for different metals, different materials now. So again, it means improving our understanding in some systems or deposit types that we haven't maybe studied as in much detail as other deposit types that we've been mining for a long time. So what it means is that on short term, we're going to need well-trained geologists, well-trained geoscientists. So Michel has alluded to that, but there's a lot of information we gather in the field, different types of data, and more we're using portable devices to get data in real time in the field. But there's also more and more analytical work we can do on the samples we're bringing back. So the geologists, or the new generations of geologists and geoscientists have to they require multiple skills. So you have to be good at recognizing the rocks and mapping the rocks, but you have to be good at analyzing complex geochemical or chemical data sets. You have to be good in physics. You have to have good computational skills. So a well-trained geoscientist now means that you have to be able to do different things. And and it's a group effort, I would say. You need many people now to look at a sample, because everybody's going to look at one given sample or set of data with different eyes and different knowledge and expertise, because there's so much material or data we're getting from these samples that we now are working in group. So collaboration is quite good, because you need the complementary expertise to really extract as much as you can from those samples and the information that you got from your field work. So that's probably what is in store for us in the near future. So if we want to keep contributing to improving exploration metals and contributing to the Canadian wealth, well, we're gonna have to continue better understanding how these deposits are formed, and that's our role as metallurgists at NRCan.
So a lot of your work is done in very remote places in northern Canada, places that most of us will never get to see in person. Do you have any stories you can share about working in the north or in remote places?
Well, yeah, sure. Well, there are many stories. I'm not sure I can talk about all those stories here. But doing field work is a great opportunity that we have. It's a chance. Yeah, as you said, we're going in some places that other people don't really have the chance to go to. So it's always a bit of an adventure, I would say. We're often getting in the field by boat or planes, float planes and things like that, helicopters, snowmobiles. So there are different ways to get there. And it leads to all sorts of adventures, as you can imagine, but it's also very, very exciting. And something we haven't mentioned, but Michel and I are working pretty much everywhere in Canada. So from Newfoundland to Yukon. So we see different environments. So a couple of years ago, I was doing some field work with students in Nunavut in the tundra, And then a couple of weeks ago, after I was in the mountains in central Yukon, and then again, a couple of weeks later, I was in swamps in northeastern Ontario. So, yeah, each place presents its own challenges. But again, that's a chance that we have as geoscientists to see all those places. Well, we have to live with bugs, for sure. It's part of the deal. But you get used to it. It's not that bad. We all have a couple of wildlife encounters as well. So there's always something happening. So it's great. And we are most of the time working with other people. As I was saying, collaboration is important. Provincial, territorial survey collaborators, academia, students, people from the industry that are collaborating their projects as well. So field work brings people together as well. So you usually develop a really good friendship through those field adventures. So I think most of our colleagues would say that it's a great motivation on a day-to-day. And that's why we're so keen about going in the field. So looking at the rocks, it's for sure a great motivation. That's why we're doing that. I like gold deposits. I like seeing gold deposits. But working with the people as well is great. So we always usually end up being good friends and longtime friends as well, with for sure a couple of interesting stories to talk about when we get together for a beer.
I'd like to hear more about the wildlife encounters.
Well, bears. Bears are always part of the game. Sometimes moose. When you set up a camp in the James Bay area, for example, you will always end up with a curious bear coming close to the camp, getting drawn by smells and things like that. So, yeah, usually there are no problems, but yeah, it's part of the game. Some wolverine in Yukon, same in Nunavut. So in some places, for safety reasons, you have to hire someone that brings a gun just for safety reasons. I mean, when you're working in Nunavut, close to the Ungava, the Bay of Ungava, there are some white bears there, or in the mountains in the west, there are grizzly bears as well. So exploration camps there usually have a fence, electrical fence around the camp, just to make sure that you don't have a grizzly bear being too curious. So yeah, it's part of the game. Yeah, but there are all sorts of safety measures, and problems are really, really. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe I can just add something that they, when you talk about wildlife encounter, the thing is, yes, as Patrick said, you know, you have a lot of safety measure about that, and but sometimes it could be quite fun, because just a quick story about that. It's a few years ago when I was working in Nunavut, when one of my students that I was hired for the summer, in fact, for one entire day, we had a small caribou that, you know, follow us pretty much all day, you know, probably several hundred meters apart. But every time we were moving, he was always curious and kind of following us, you know, pretty much all day. It was kind of quite interesting about that.
For our listeners who might be interested in the field, they might want to get more information about the topic, about mineral exploration and the type of work you do, what are some of the online resources that you might recommend?
Well, in fact, for people that are more interested about what we do and mineral exploration, a lot of information out there. In fact, you can, you know, as starting point, you know, all the Canadian government, provincial and territorial government website, you know, for example, the Geological Survey of Canada, the Ontario Geological Survey, and all the different provinces and territories have a lot of information about, you know, all the geology and all the related to what is a geoscientist, but also the Geoscientists of Canada website have a lot of information about what the geoscientists do and in all the different fields. And more related to mineral exploration, they have also a lot of resources out there. And maybe I can mention too, it's the Prospector and Developers Association of Canada website and the Quebec Mineral Exploration Association website that have a lot of information about all the different steps of mineral exploration, as we explained a little bit from the beginning to go into the production, but also for the restoration of the mine site afterwards, after all the metals have been extracted from the ground.
Perfect. We'll make sure to add those links in the description of the podcast. Michel and Patrick, thank you so much for taking the time to, you know, join us on our podcast and talk about your amazing work that you do. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joel and Barbara.
Thank you very much.
That was a really interesting interview we had, for sure. I love their stories about their work in the field.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot more to it than you might imagine. And it sounds like they had some pretty incredible adventures in the field, in the wilderness like that.
Oh, for sure. I'm booking my ticket to northern Quebec and got to find myself some gold.
Oh,
it's
gonna
be great.
Boy. Don't quit your day job, okay? Anyway, if you're interested in learning more about their work and the kinds of things they do, we have resources. We'll have links in the description below.
And you can also leave a review or share this episode. And if you share over Twitter, make sure to tag us at NRCanScience.
And remember, Simply Science also has a website and a YouTube channel, which you should check out. We have in-depth articles of interest, videos that showcase the fascinating scientific work that we do at Natural Resources Canada. And you can find those links and all our social media channels listed in the episode description as well.
Thank you, Barb. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.
Bye for now.